A once-in-a-generation opportunity, that's how some educators describe the Gonski Review of School Funding. Yes, schools and parents can only watch and wait and perhaps hope the government will be able to deliver on its proposed new funding model. Signs aren't promising. Will the Gonski reforms survive our federal system? Is the key question for this morning. Queensland and Victoria have decided to go their own way. They won't sign up to the Gonski model and have given reasons for doing so. And it will all be hotly debated at the COAG meeting next month. The Prime Minister is adamant she'll push ahead with the reforms, but time is certainly running out as we head towards the September election date. And of course, if there is a change in government, what then for the Gonski plan? The opposition education spokesman Christopher Pines told RN Breakfast last week, we don't need a new funding model. There's nothing wrong with the old one. Joining me now is Bronwyn Hinds. She is a researcher in education policy and federalism, the School of Social and Political Studies at the University of Melbourne. And we also have Marilyn Parker, who is an education columnist, you may know, at the Daily Telegraph, and a former teacher, as it turns out. Welcome to you both.
Good Hi morning. There. Thank you.
Marilyn, the battle over Gonski, is this just par for the course in a federal system, or have Queensland and Victoria taken it to another level?
Well, I hope we get Gonski up. You know, I mean, I'm the eternal optimist. I don't trust the state governments. I know that Queensland and Victoria have said that they are going to go ahead with their own Gonski type system. But Victoria, for example, cut $550 million. From its state education budget, and now very graciously have promised $400 million back. I mean, what are they up to? It just doesn't make sense. They are expecting, of course, the federal government to kick in their amount, whereas they haven't discussed it with the federal government at all. On the other hand, Gonski, we've talked about it for 18 months.
There's and been the rest.
Before the report came out, 7,000 submissions, 71 education groups have been consulted. I mean, this is something. Gonski is something that I think the Auspol put it, 89% of Australians want us to make an agreement based on Gonski. So we want it. I want it. We all want it.
Well, clearly Queensland and Victoria don't want it. I mean, this line.
Queensland and Victoria governments, it's the governments that are politicking and playing games. I would say that the ordinary people out there in the street would very much like to see the end of this very toxic public-private debate that we've had now for decades. For the whole 20 years I've been writing on education, we've been having this battle. And we're over it, you know. I'm over it. Everyone's over it. All the public school supporters just want the federal government scheme to get up, and we want to see an end to the decline that we're having in our standards, and we want to see the battle finished.
I just wonder, though, if the federal government is partly to blame for the states applying this. The federal government has dragged their feet on detail, and the states want to know how much money the Commonwealth will commit of that $6.5 billion that they say Gonski will take to implement, shared between the states and the feds. So are they partly to blame for this stoush? I'll come to Marilyn first, and then Bronwyn, I'll come to you, definitely.
The report was only released in February last year. I mean, you know, that we can't really expect too many miracles, and they've been modelling, and very confidential modelling, but we've had little leaks about what's happening. So they've been trying to come to some sort of agreement on the actual amount. So. Yes,
leaks don't quite cut it, though, do they? I guess.
We want to know the
detail. We need detail. The states need detail. Teachers need detail.
They do. And one of the things, can I just make a point about that? Those negotiations that are going on now too, they're going on in confidence, and they're going on with the heads of school authorities. Not one of the people intimately involved in these negotiations represents public schools, and you know I'm appalled by that.
Bronwyn, you wanted to pick up there. I mean, the question here is this simply a stoush over money and politics, or do the states have genuine differences of opinion about how to proceed with school reform. I think, you know, we had all the ministers, state and federal, on Life Matters last year, and there seemed to be a very, all at the same time, I have to say, there seemed to be a sense of consensus that there does need to be reform.
Apart from Pine, everyone else in Australia really agrees that the system as it stands needs major reform. It's not doing our students justice. Our schools do very well, but they could do much better, and we really need to address this growing gap between the highest and lowest performing students, which really, you know, puts them several steps behind when it comes to embarking out in the big wide world. I would say that this bun fight and this Commonwealth state squabbling was always to be expected, given the huge sums of money involved and the fact that schooling goes to the heart of state government's constitutional responsibilities and top of Gillard's, you know, priorities. And also, I'd say that the bun fight can be a force for good. Would you really want the biggest reform and funding increase to schools in a generation to not have this discussion between governments at different levels? We don't really want it just rubber stamped and rushed through. This debate and negotiation can actually improve things. The nitpicking over details and time spent, you know, deciding what these funding amounts will be can lead to their greater examination and, you know, really work out with Queens and Victoria saying they're going to go their own way. I doubt that will be exactly what happens.
Do you think so? Do you think that they may not end up going their own way? I mean, certainly elements of what Victoria has already proposed and is already doing, a voucher system for disadvantaged students, etc., is actually already a part of kind of the Gonski set of recommendations.
Absolutely, and I've written about this. The Victorian reforms are broadly in line with Gonski. Now, there are some areas where they deviate substantially, but the bulk of it is in line with Gonski. So, apart from their, you know, previous funding cuts, they want to have more needs-based funding. They want to have greater funding for disabled students that is applied no matter what school they're enrolled in. Gonski as well said that students or schools serving disabled students should be fully funded. It shouldn't matter the name on top of teachers' payslips. If they're serving disabled students, they should be fully funded. So
there's a synergy there between the two, isn't there?
Absolutely.
I guess the question is then, there is a genuine concern from state governments that the feds will move in and take control of education.
Yes, and it is a genuine concern, and the federal government's heart is definitely in the right place, but practice shows that states actually do a better job when it comes to running schools. Now, that's not to say they don't do a perfect job, and I, like Marilyn, am appalled by the funding cuts the Baillieu and O'Farrell governments have made to education, but I would say that's really an argument for having the two levels of government involved. Imagine if these governments made these cuts, it was only one government in charge and it applied to the whole country. At least the damage is quarantined and then they can, you know, pick up models that work from other states.
Marilyn Parker, you'd like to pick up on this.
Yes, I would. Look, a voucher system just won't cut it. No matter how it's imposed or rolled out, the unions are totally against any sort of a voucher system, and especially
why are they? What's wrong with a voucher system as a means of funding for disadvantage and disability, for example?
Well, you know, voucher systems appear to be giving you choice. In fact, what it does is allows the schools that can make choices more choices of who they have in their schools. So, if you run out a voucher system for children with disabilities,
we should just explain what is being proposed there. What is a voucher system?
There are many different types of voucher models out there. There are thousands of voucher models out there, and I'd describe it more as a semi-voucher system.
Oh, okay.
So if a student has been identified as having a disability, they will receive, the school they go to will receive extra funding to help them provide programs for that particular disability. So if their local public school is excellent at helping children with autism, but the local Catholic school is better for those with a different disability, they could go to the Catholic school that already has a more specific program for them, and that Catholic school would get that greater amount of funding, even though it is not the local public school.
Marilyn,
yeah, see, I don't trust that sort of a system. You know, it still allows for selection, and it still allows for schools to choose the families that have social capital. And I mean, children with disabilities aren't confined to one, you know, socioeconomic background.
But I would jump in here and say that at the moment, the public service or the public schools have a disproportionate responsibility, you could say, for students with disabilities. Students with disabilities are disproportionately concentrated in public schools.
They certainly are providing
extra funding for other schools to take these on. You could help share the load and you'll have greater diversity of student abilities in the private sectors.
Well, you're very trusting on those. Very trusting of the schools to have a choice. I don't think states have done a very good job at all. I don't trust the states to take. I mean, we have a history in Australia.
Why would you trust the feds over the states, though?
Well, because they have a very clearly thought out and a robust reform agenda that everyone's contributed to. The reform agenda has been something that Julie Gillard was told she couldn't do. She couldn't get up a national curriculum. Look, I've been writing, I've been writing for 20 years, and I've seen two very, very brave attempts to get up a national curriculum. The last one was under John Howard, and they failed. But Julia Gillard got that up, you know. She got up a system whereby we can report, all schools in Australia report their school data on a MySchool website. She got that up, you know.
Degree of contestation around the sense of that and whether it works and whether it's efficacious.
We can talk for hours.
That's a separate story, though.
But what I'm saying is she's got these two things up, and she's the Prime Minister, and I'm wanting her to get Gonski up.
You're both actually quite optimistic, even though you have differences of opinion here. Bronwyn Hinds, the federal opposition is not a fan of the Gonski model. He said, I remember on Breakfast last week, that elements of it he is attracted to, but not all, and that this is not about more money, it's about quality teachers, more autonomy to schools, although I note that the Prime Minister mentioned that in her Gonski response late last year anyway.
Yes, he's starting to backtrack a bit.
And it's about teaching methods. Is he? Since his comments last week?
Yes.
Can we afford that sort of vacillation?
Well, I think, again, this is an argument for maintaining the state government role. Gillard does have a very clear and very appealing plan. I would still say it's probably best handled by the state governments. And Gonski himself said that states should continue to run schools. States should continue to divvy up this Commonwealth funding under the new model according to its own model. So use this new model as a guide, but they can deviate from it. So Gonski himself thinks that states and systems are best placed to run schools because they're the ones that have the daily interaction with schools. One thing to remember, if a government has a very strong reform agenda and, you know, a good track record getting things done, that's only a good thing if you like the government in power. So people that might be a huge fan of the Gillard government perhaps were not a huge fan of the Howard government, who also had a very clear reform agenda for schooling. He saw a greater role for private schooling, and he had a track record getting work choices done. So having the federal government in control of everything is only good if you like that particular federal government, and also means new government comes in, it could all change.
Well, I think everyone would agree that there needs to be some stability of understanding and funding around education in Australia, so we don't want to kind of be at mercy of the political cycle.
Absolutely.
Marilyn Parker, COAG needs to hammer out some detail next month. Mm. The election is September. Time is running out.
There's only weeks after the COAG meeting before the last sitting of Parliament.
Indeed.
And to get it through, you know, to get the Abbott-proof fence, I think someone called it, the Abbott-proof fence through, get the legislation, the detail of the I mean, the legislation has been passed, but it's a detail now. And, yes, it's a very short time to get it through, and still I want the miracle.
Bronwyn, is it a miracle? Will it be a miracle in order to get through the detail legislatively?
You could say that, but then I'm constantly amazed at the what happens in both the state and federal parliaments. So whether they are miracles or not depends on whether you agree with them or not. I do think we will get something up. I don't think it will be exactly what Gillard wants, and I don't think it will be exactly what Gonski recommended. And it's important to remember that what Gillard is proposing does differ from what Gonski had proposed. So Gonski and Gillard both want greater clarity. We want greater coordination. We want greater funding going to the students with the greatest need. So we all agree on that. But Gonski wants to see the Commonwealth government back off a little bit from education. He wants to see genuine partnership between the state and Commonwealth governments, rather than Commonwealth treating the states really as donkeys, just waving those carrots and sticks, which, although the heart might be in the right place, can sometimes divert resources, time and money, to chasing after those carrots and sticks rather than just putting the money in schools where it's needed.
Yeah, I mean, Marilyn Parker, the states are very concerned that they'll end up having to kind of wrangle with a big bureaucracy in order to secure funding for schools.
Yes, I mean, the danger
that's
is
a, that's
the
a danger legitimate is
the,
concern,
the
isn't
accountability
it?
And you know, so, and that can be onerous. And I mean, but Julia Gillard knows clearly that that's a problem, and hopefully it will be addressed. But I mean, my concern is not only that the Gonski reforms won't pass, we won't get the legislation passed, I think it's called National Plan for School Improvement. But what worries me is Christopher Pyne has no plan. You know, his plan is to continue to do the same. And continuing to do the same means that the gap will widen.
He said that he would like to focus on teacher quality.
Yeah.
And school and autonomy.
And chalk and talk methods.
Yes,
chalk he and talk. He did say chalk and talk, that's right.
He did, didactic teaching methods. But if we don't start with a funding system that's fair, where public schools are properly funded and are properly maintained and are properly resourced, the problems we have will just be exacerbated. The gap will widen. We need to start with a basic funding formula that everyone is happy with and everyone thinks is fair. Now, it's not the magic bullet. It's not going to fix all the other things that we know that are wrong, or not wrong, but that we know that we can improve. We can improve teacher quality. You know, I'd love to see huge amounts. We need to invest in teachers. I'd love to see huge amounts invested in training, mentoring, supporting them in their classes with specialist support staff.
It's a case of not either or.
That's right. Yeah.
Bronwyn, a final question to you. Even if Gonski gets through, the reforms get through unscathed, how long would it be before we see an impact on schools? There is some concern and scepticism about that as well.
Well, we would see some changes immediately. So we could, as Marilyn has suggested, we could see extra literacy experts and extra mentoring and support for teachers and principals, you know, almost straight away. But, you know, teaching and education is a long process. So we might see some immediate changes on the ground, but it could still take a number of months, years, even a decade before we see the system as a whole really performing up to its potential.
Look, terrifically interesting exchange. Thank you, and an important one. We'll watch with much interest as to what happens at COAG. Thank you to you both. Marilyn Parker, education columnist for the Daily Telegraph and former teacher. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Bronwyn Hinds, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Wonderful. Researcher in education policy and federalism at the School of Social and Political Studies at the University of Melbourne there. And love to hear from you on this one. It is an important issue. And let's hope that your views can inform some of the political debate around it too in the coming weeks and months.